What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. Lugie. A very pleasant Lugie evening to everybody out there. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Programming note. Tomorrow, in studio, the legendary, the great, Walt Clyde Frazier. He will join The Carton Show, Craig and C-Mac, 3 p.m. in studio tomorrow. I'm sure he will be styling and profiling. He will be looking great as he always does while sitting next to McMonagle wearing a flannel shirt, I would imagine. Although Mac pulls off the flannel very well. I've noticed he likes to go flannel. I used to be a big flannel guy. I kind of got away from it, but he rocks the flannel big time. But Clyde, the legend, in studio tomorrow, 3 p.m. with Craig and C-Mac on The Carton Show. Quick check of the Pistons score. They are up 7 with about 5 minutes to go in the first half. Game 5, the series all tied up in their series against the Cavs as we await the winner. Who will the Knicks' opponent be? Game 1, in all likelihood, will be on Tuesday because I see the series going 7, which means no game 1 on Sunday because game 7's on Sunday. Game 1 will be Tuesday either in Detroit or at Madison Square Garden, depending on who gets through here. I think it's going to be the Pistons. I think they win tonight. I think the Cavs win game 6, and then Detroit ultimately ends up holding serve at home. But this is a perfect position to be in if you're the Knicks, if you're a Knicks fan. You get to rest, you get to relax, you get to reflect on where this franchise has been for years prior to Leon Rose taking over as the architect, prior to Tibbs building up this program, prior to the signing of Brunson, prior to trading for Hart or trading for Cat or Ananobi, building this team from what felt like the ground up and enjoying just being a Knicks fan right now as we sit here relaxing, hanging out, waiting for our opponent as we are back in the Eastern Conference Finals for the second straight year. That is an awesome place to be, not only as a Knicks fan, but just as a sports fan. Just your team is hanging out, chilling, focused, waiting for their next opponent. I'm rooting for the Cavs, of course, because you get home court advantage, and I just don't think they have enough. James Harden is a sports loser. You get in bed with him, you're going to get what you deserve. At some point, the team that he is on will implode. He will implode, and we all know how that story ends. So if it's the Cavs, I think the Knicks make short work of them. If it's the Pistons, who I do respect, I do believe they have a talented team, and certainly the one seed would reflect that, but they have not been playing great basketball. They were lucky to get by Orlando, albeit they did. And now they're in another fight here with the Cavs. Back-to-back series that went the distance, because I do think the series is going the distance, certainly will wear on the Pistons as well. And if the Cavs do get by, same thing. They would have had a 7-game series with Toronto and now a 7-game series with the Pistons, whereas the Knicks just took their, they had an easy work with the Sixers for the sweep, bing, bang, boom, in and out. And now they have over a week to rest, to get guys like OG Anunoby healthy, to get their mind right, and for all of us as Knicks fans to not only reflect, but to look forward to another trip to the Eastern Conference Final, which is all about business. It's all about getting to that next round. That's what it's been about from the get-go. That's the mission, at least from where I stand. To me, you weren't going to ever, I said this from jump, if they got eliminated, there would be no biggie. There would be, well, you know, this, that, and the other, or attrition. Or, you weren't going to hear that from me this year. It was about getting to the finals. And then once you're there, obviously I want to win the championship. But it was bare minimum finals based on the team, based on by that I mean the talent, the chemistry that they have now, having been teammates for a minute, the experience that everybody on this roster has, not only together, but outside of this team. I mean, guys like Kat went to the Western Conference Finals, Bridges went to the finals, not on the Knicks. So there is a lot of playoff experience. They have more depth this year. They have a willingness, even more important, a willingness to go to their bench, which is extremely, extremely important when you get down to the final four or so teams in the playoffs. You're going to be facing teams like OKC in the finals, or like last year in Indiana. Teams that have a ton of depth, that go 10 deep. And when the Knicks weren't doing that or even coming close to that, it ultimately ended up being their undoing. Much like the Sixers, they had no depth. And when you lack depth and you get to the playoffs, you are going to get exposed. You are going to eventually get run out of a gym. You just can't hang with a team that's going 8, 9, 10, maybe even more than that deep. And that's exactly what the Thunder do and did last year. That's exactly what the Pacers did last year. And that's exactly what the Knicks are doing right now. So when you look at all the ingredients that you need, star power in Brunson and Kat, a great starting five, chemistry, experience, the right head coach, because Mike Brown does deserve credit for this for sure, depth, size, defense, which they've been playing excellent, especially in the playoffs, momentum, on a mission too, like all that stuff, like everything you look for. There's no holes in the Knicks game right now. None. The only thing that you could point to even throughout the regular season is they're their own worst enemy. They could shoot themselves in the foot. They have these weird sort of stretches where they don't look right. They don't look like the team that on any given night is the best team in the league and can beat anybody. And that would be a head scratcher. You know, ultimately you chalk it up to the regular season, but you certainly wouldn't want that bleeding into the playoffs. And it did rear its ugly head against the Hawks, but ever since then, and maybe that was the wake-up call, going down 2-1, and your season essentially being on the line in that game four in Atlanta. That appeared to be the moment where the light switch went on, where the Knicks kicked it into a different gear, where they leveled up. And they have not looked back since, as they have laid waste to anything that's been in their path on a historical march to the Eastern Conference Finals, setting records, dominating. Their performances in these closeout games have been nothing short of breathtaking. 140-plus points, shooting the lights out, playing tremendous defense, leaving absolutely no doubt, as they are as hot as any team in the league right now. And I'm sure nobody wants to see them. But you're getting to the Eastern Conference Finals if you're one of these teams, so you'll take it. But good luck to anybody that's going to face the Knicks, because everything right now is working for them. And it sounds like they're going to get Anunoby back for game one. So all good there, as I expected. I didn't want to see him in the Sixers series. They didn't need him. I said that from the jump, meaning once they were up 2-0 and he got hurt. I said there's no need for this. And when you think about the bench, look at round one. When Bridges was struggling, and by the way, Bridges was as good as any Nick in the series against the Sixers, which is remarkable when you consider he had hit, in my opinion, his lowest point as a Nick after game three against the Hawks. Remember, in game two, he misses the shot at the end. Game three, he had 0 points. 0 points in game three. He had more turnovers than points, rebounds, and assists combined. That was his lowest moment and point as a Knick. To not only rebound from that, but also play your best basketball after that. And by all accounts, he was the best player in the series for the Knicks against the Sixers. That says a lot about Mikel finally figuring it out, and also Mike Brown finally unlocking him. And also, because there were talks about him falling out of the starting lineup, Mikel Bridges, Mike Brown sticking with his guy. And maybe that was the confidence boost that Mikel finally needed to get him over the hump. But when he was struggling early in that round against the Hawks, you had guys like Clarkson, you had guys like Alvarado step up, which speaks a lot about those two individuals being vets that had fallen out of the rotation at times, but they were able to, at a moment's notice, pick up and just play their best basketball and help this team when they had a guy that was starting that was struggling mightily. Then you look to round two, when Ananobi went down and didn't play in three and four, Shamet, the Friday night game, game three, outstanding, and then Deuce McBride was awesome in game four. So both of those guys picked up certainly the scoring and even the defense to a degree that Ananobi, when he is not there, leaves as a shoe that needs to be filled. This is a deep, because remember, when they went down to the, or when they went up to the, when they were up on the Pacers a couple years ago, 2-0, and Ananobi got hurt, the wheels fell off. And we all know how it ended. The disaster in Game 6 and then even the bigger disaster in Game 7. That team, though, and there were other injuries, but they weren't deep. They weren't equipped to handle that type of injury or those type of situations cropping up. This team is. Certainly you don't want to lose Ananobi for a long period of time, but the depth that they have is extraordinary. And that's a credit to Leon Rose for the acquisitions that he's made through the years. Especially this one, you know, trading for Alvarado, bringing in Clarkson, bringing back Shamet. Three vets that are just at a moment's notice can give you defense, can give you offense. They're pros. And then obviously Deuce, obviously Mitchell Robinson. What you have is a very, very, very good bench. By far the best bench that they've had in this era of Knicks basketball. And they have a willingness now that the head coach to play those guys and not bury them on the bench and only go to them when you need them the most. Or when you're just totally desperate, I should say, really is more what it's like. When what happened last year with DeLon Wright and Sham, too little, too late. This needed to be a season-long thing, which is what Mike Brown did. He played these guys throughout the year. Even guys like Diawara, if you had to go to them, like there are so many. The Knicks can go like 15 deep because they played guys throughout the year. And they didn't just rely on their starters and maybe two bench guys. You can't do that in the postseason. You can't do that in the playoffs. You can't. You can't. Because you're going to eventually run into a team that goes 10 deep and they are going to run you out of the gym. Especially in a series, because you're just not going to be able to hold up. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Kenny in Westchester County here on After Hours. What's up, Kenny? We'll make sure Kenny is there. No problem. Let's go to Alan in Long Island. What's up, Alan? Maybe it's me. Do I not have my headphones there plugged in there, Connor? I think I do. The phones might be. Oh, there we go. Hi, Alan. There you go. It's weird that it went 2-for-2, though, that both of you gentlemen weren't there. But it sounds like we go live now to Alan in Long Island. Alan, are you with us? What could you tell us about the Yankees and Knicks? Alan, are you there?
Yes, I am, yeah. Lugemeister.
Yeah, no, it's...
And I want your
Alan. Where were you when we went to you, though? What happened there? What was the deal? Were you on the...
I was getting something to drink.
What do you mean getting something to drink? You can't get something to drink afterwards? What is this? You're getting something to drink? You a little parch? You a little bit of drink there? Why didn't you tell somebody? Why didn't you leave us a note? Hey, this is Alan gone fishing. That way I wouldn't have went to you. When I go to you, you're not there, and then I'm trying. We now go live to Alan in Long Island, and you're getting a drink. I mean, listen, it happens. I'm not saying we're all human, but next time, Alan, do me a favor. Let us know. That's all. Just let us know.
Remember the great Spanky from the Rascals?
No.
Just going to wet my whistle. I'm just going to get to wet my whistle. Listen, kid, I'm all for you.
What's with the kid?
All right. Okay. I'm all for your ratings to go through the stratosphere.
They're through the roof. They're so huge that I might have to restructure my deal with this company. That's how big they are.
No, they're so huge. I hope everyone's listening now, including management.
They are.
They went into those UFO files and they saw your ratings in another galaxy, all right?
Beyond.
Past the Milky Way.
Past it. Just past the of like Way, the, never been seen in history, actually, is what I've been told, you know what I mean? But right. But again, I'm not here to brag. So that's the deal.
And the signal, especially the AM signal, you got the FM travels, just keeps traveling out there into out in the universe.
So not only the generational talent here in this country or in this globe, but across the continents, across the stratosphere, across the universe, across the Milky Way.
There's little green men right now saying Lugamaista.
I think I got a call the other night from somebody on Mars that was complaining about Aaron Boone. But that's really the reach we have here at WFAN, and that's the reach that I have here on After Hours. That you're right. I think there was some UFOs, and they listen, obviously, when they're flying around their UFOs, and they complain like a lot of people do about Aaron Boone, and they called me up. And I said, listen, you know, this is a long-distance call. I hope you know that. So you're going to have to pay a bunch of money, but I'm happy to take your call.
Well, even up in the Milky Way, they're calling Aaron Boone a nanny. He's basically a nanny.
Well, you know this, Alan. Right? Nobody knows more than you as not only a baseball historian but a sports historian. You know the deal with Boone. You know the deal.
I'm a former historian, but I can tell you something. Let me give you a little bit of a drop here.
Go ahead.
Clyde Frazier could drop 20 any night he wanted to. They played a different. We know they played a different type of game back then.
Absolutely. And by the way, Alan, as you know, Clyde will be on with Craig and C-Mac tomorrow in studio at 3 p.m. Clyde, for sure, though, is one of the all time greats. And as a sports historian, you know, obviously you were there. You covered it. You witnessed it. You experienced it because you are a former historian.
I could give you the decline of the Knicks. And here's the question you ask Clyde. When they got the Pearl, who was the point guard? That's the question. That's the question I would ask, all right? And here's the other thing. You want to know the downfall of the Knicks? They won the championship in 70, right?
Oh, this is historical. And got it. Yep. This is you as a historian.
But this
now.
Is the reason.
Yeah.
Right. In the first round, they passed up on Tiny, all right? Tiny didn't go to the second round to the Kansas City Omaha Kings. If they would have drafted Tiny,
right?
Listen, that team would, and Reed wouldn't have gotten injured. We know that.
But
that
you know what it is? It's water under the bridge, though. Right now, they're back in the Eastern Conference Finals with a chance to go to the NBA Finals. So you can't do. I know you're a historian, but we can't do revisionist history here. You know, it is what it is. Unless you are. And I don't know if you are. If you're Doc Brown and you got a DeLorean, and we can go back in time, but you're not supposed to mess with anything there that could change the course of the future. There, you know that, Alan. You know that, Marty. I like that name. How come his parents don't remember him? Come on. He goes back in time. He helps them hook up at prom. All these years later, their life is way. Like, now Biff is subservient. He's not a bully anymore. He's cleaning the car for the old man. You're trying to tell me that they don't recognize Marty? The guy that got them together and got them ultimately hitched? And now they have this beautiful family and this wonderful life? And they play tennis together and he says she has a nice tushy? You're telling me that they don't recognize Marty at all? Now, do I remember somebody I met in high school for a week? No, of course not. But if they had that type of impact on my life where they introduced me to my future wife, I would think I would remember them, yes, even all those years later. Now, unless they're kayfabing, which means they're, you know, they don't want to let Marty know that they recognize him. They don't want to freak him out. Otherwise, I got to be honest, to me, just a little nod of a, They should have, in the movie, they should have went, Just a little, That's all. That's all. Great movie, by the way. I'm not trying to... I am poking a hole in it, but an absolute classic. I just watched it about a month ago. I think the whole trilogy was on, and two is okay, three is okay, but the first one is obviously an all-time classic. I wouldn't put it in my top 10 or anything like that, but it's definitely an all-time classic. Timeless. One of those movies that you can go back to. Like, The Goonies? I don't think it holds up. I know a lot of people love that movie. And a lot of people are like, this Lugauer stinks, McMonagle's better. But I just don't think The Goonies hold up. At the time, yeah, I can understand. But because I watched that one recently too, I was like, Didn't hold up. I don't know if it was a little campy. I'm not sure what it was. I just didn't like it. I didn't think it held up. That's probably the better way to say it. Because it is a good movie, but it didn't hold up. And some movies don't. Some get better with time, some don't. Some get worse, and I thought The Goonies did. But Back to the Future, definitely not. Like, you could watch that one, the music, the story, the heart that it has, everything about it. The chemistry, of course, with Doc and with Marty, off the charts. One of the first bromances that we saw on television. Absolutely amazing. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I believe we do have Kenny back with us, and he's calling us from Westchester County. What's up, Kenny?
Oh, hi, Tommy. You know that last caller was Steve from Manhattan, right?
Well, we don't want to get kayfabe. Kayfabe. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
We'll but you know what, Kenny? You know what, Kenny? This is what I would tell you, my friend. When you have to, this is what I would say to you. Just put your faith in me. That's all I would say, is that I know what...
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Things are going on. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I play along with stuff to play along with it. But I don't know why you didn't. I don't know why you had to say that.
I just thought you didn't know. That's
yeah,
all.
Then you come to me privately. You go, Tommy, by the way, you know that Steve is. I know what's going on. You know they gotta know what's going on. But I get tweets like, Tommy doesn't know Steve's calling him. Of course I do. But I'm trying to, you know, not point to it to make it fun. You know what I'm saying? But I appreciate it, Kenny. You know what? I appreciate you. All good, my friend.
Okay, thank you. I was just trying to help you out.
Yeah, how would you know that, though? How would you know, though? How are you in cahoots with him?
He calls all the shows. Come on.
Yeah, but you would know his voice. By the way, Kenny, I take a million calls. I don't even know if I know a caller. If you just, like, blind tested me and said, listen to this person's voice, do you know the caller? I don't know if I would. So you might be in cahoots with Steve then. That's that. I don't want to put that on you, Ken. If that's your real name, but you might be in cahoots with this Steve, if that's even his real name. While we're at it.
Well, you got the mind of a detective. I can't get
well,
that.
You know what it is, Kenny. Not so much a detective, but I always try to get to the bottom of everything. That's why they call me Tommy. Get to the bottom of everything. And in this situation, it struck me that you knew that, because I don't know if everybody does know that. And now everybody does, but I mean, we tried to keep that a little bit of on the secret, but that's okay. You let it out. So all good, but maybe you're in cahoots. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, you're a smart guy. What about that guy Woody from the Land of Oz? He gets a lot of airtime. You know, the radios are clicking off with this guy.
Well, I don't, you know, Kenny, I don't know if you, for a couple things here. You weren't there when I went to you, so people click off the radio when I go to a call and they're not ready to go. That's not exactly great radio. That's number one. Number two, are you calling to be the program director, or are you calling to host the show, or are you calling to talk? So, because you outed Steve, now you're getting on Ozzy. What's the problem here? I don't understand why are you coming with such hostility.
It's not hostility. I just want to be, you know, a caller to talk radio who participates, and I like your show.
Yeah,
I don't
but
like
you shouldn't ask the other callers. I don't think that's fair. Ozzy, for all his awards, I don't think he comes on the air and necessarily bashes anybody else. And if he does, I'll put him in check. But, like, I don't think you have to say anything bad about the guy. You know, I don't think that's the right way to do it. I don't like the caller-on-caller violence, so to speak. You know, verbal violence. That's all I'm saying. So I got to stand up. Much like if somebody called me up and said, hey, that Kenny fella, I'd come to your aid as well, because I love everybody in my audience. I love all my callers. I appreciate you. So I don't want to see anybody get besmirched. That's all. So we're good. I think we've come to an understanding here, my friend.
One more thing, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I love your show and everything. Go, Buchanan! Go, baby! Go, Pack!
Yeah, maybe was Kenny also Steve? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if they were in cahoots or not there.
That was like an Inception level call there, maybe.
That's what I'm... Connor, great way to put it. Because it didn't sound like him. So now my brain... We might literally have to go to break. Because my brain... And I love Inception. Great movie. I watched it on the plane to... Where did I watch it? On the plane to California, I think, when I went to go see my nephew in February. So I had recently watched that movie. And it's a mind-blowing movie. Tremendous. Christopher Nolan obviously directed it. My guy Leo was obviously the main character in it. Tremendous. But yeah, that was one of those ones, Connor, where back to back.
It's like a call within a call. I thought the first guy might have been the Buchanan guy, but then the second guy ended up being the Buchanan. But maybe it was the same guy.
Think about it. Neither was there. Let's play this out together. Neither were there when I went to them, which would...
You know what I think happened?
Two different phones. Mm-hmm. He went to one. He thought the other one. So when he went to Kenny, he was on the Allen phone.
Yeah.
And then when the Allen phone was there, he went to the Kenny phone. Make sense?
He
because
must
I
be
went
paying...
to them back to back, it screwed him up. So that's why he did what he did there. I think. I could be wrong, but now if we go back in time here in the Inception, neither one of them were ready. They both brought each other up in a sense, and then he hit the line at the end, which Allen in Long Island didn't.
Well, I mean, you gave him plenty. Allen had plenty of time to get a go Buchanan in. I don't know why he saved it for the second one if it was the same person.
Yeah, he doesn't always go to the go Buchanan. He does the go Buchanan with me like a dog when they're mad at you and they go on the carpet. Whenever he's annoyed with me because I cut him off quickly, then he'll go to the go. But otherwise, he doesn't.
He must be spending thousands of dollars in his phone bill. He calls on 9 different phones.
So when he's on next, whichever name he goes by, I'm going to ask him this. I'm going to be like, bro, just level with me. Because it could be a second spitter. It could be an imposter. Because it didn't sound like him. That's why. Now he could change his voice a little bit. You know that. I don't know what depths he's going to. But it could have just been a copycat. That's the word I was looking for there, Connie. It could have been a copycat. But my mind... See, this is the type of stuff you get here on After Hours.
There's a copycat Buchanan.
There's a copycat Buchanan out there.
That could have been loose.
That could have been the case. I have no idea. But you could tell when... And I sniffed it out. When there was no direction of the call. When it was, let me make fun of this person. You know, then I'm like, all right, so obviously this is not necessarily what they want to talk about. You know what I mean? So that's where I sniffed it out. But I think it was either copycat or... But the fact that neither were ready to the point where we thought the phones were messed up. That would indicate you're on multiple phones, and when I went to the one alias, you were by the phone with the other alias, you ran to that phone, and by the time you got to it, I had hung up, I went quickly to your other alias, not even knowing, because how the heck would I know, and then when he was there late, that was probably what went down. But at the time, how could you even... Even me, Detective Tommy, and you know they call me that, Connor. They call me Detective Tommy. Tommy, you
the world's greatest detective.
That's right. I'm right up there with Inspector Gadget.
Batman.
I'm right up there with...
Sherlock Holmes.
Inspector Deck. I'm trying to think. Sherlock Holmes, another good one.
Watson, his buddy.
Yep, you would be my dear Watson. I'm right up there with...
Jack Bauer, kind of detective. Well, he was more of a special agent.
He was a special agent. Yeah. He was more of like a double agent or something like that. Yeah. Who's other? Let's look it up. What famous? Is it fictional? Detectives, right? Fictional.
Nancy Drew.
Bear with me. Nancy Drew's a good one.
Perry Mason. Encyclopedia Brown.
Brown. Where's my guy, Inspector Gadget? Is he not on here?
I don't see Inspector Gadget.
The Pink Panther!
Well, he's an inspector. He's not a detective.
Monk? That's another one. Private investigators. I don't think I would be more of a PI, but I'd be more of the...
PI Philip Marlowe?
No, come on. There's not better ones in this? Hit me up on Twitter, at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle?
No. There's got to be some more contemporary examples of this. There has to be. So basically, everybody's telling me that's Buchanan, so Kenny. So everybody online thinks that Buchanan was both of them. Well, we figured that part out at the end. You know what I mean? I didn't have my mentions open at the time. So
the Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Yeah, look, I it's funny. So if they were, it's amazing to me, though, if they were both Buchanan, why he would out who the actual Buchanan is. I thought that was kind of something that he or many didn't want out there. Not that it's like big trade secret.
Maybe it's like a twin brother situation, and they both do the Buchanan. That's why they sound similar.
Got it.
It was kind of like a brother on brother inside joke.
Got it.
It's a Buchanan and then brother Buchanan.
Yeah, I gotcha. So, because I always know who it is. I know who he is, the caller. But I just, you know me, I'm a big kayfabe guy. So I don't like to say anything. So if it was him, it's just weird that he would say that. That's all. That's what threw me off. By the way, good job, because it did throw me off. But then we eventually got there, because I am Inspector Gadget. I am Detective Tommy. I am Sherlock Holmes. It's quite elementary, my dear Connor. And that's why we were able to get to the bottom of it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours here on The Fan.
The Big Lugowski.
That's right, which is what we're calling a five-hour After Hours show, always under the umbrella of After Hours. But when I'm on from 7 to midnight, we will call it The Big Lugowski.
And the Big Lugowski.
Thank you. And I hope everybody's having a very positive Lug evening here in the tri-state area. 888-808-1019.
Lug evening.
Yes. What is it already with the Jimmy Fallon, with the laughing at his own jokes, with the schmoozing? 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. I got you for another 2.5 hours here on The Fan.
We'll get... No.
Yes, Steve. You should know you did the shift. So I'm on from 7 to mid. I hate to break that to you. I am on from 7 to mid. So another 2.5 hours here on The Fan. The phone number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019, is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Lugie here in the late night. Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. Lugie. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just one second. The Fan Focus, it is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. It's all tied up at Citi Field, 2-2 Mets Tigers. The big story, though, coming out of the game, Juan Soto took a foul ball off his toe. He stayed in the game, stayed in that at bat, but was ultimately removed in the 7th inning. No update on what's going on. We'll obviously hear from Mendoza after the game, and we'll find out if Juan, it's just precautionary, or if he has to get imaging. Positive side of me says it's just precautionary late in the game. I know it's tied, but and they're just showing the replay now. I'm watching, and I did see it live as well. He fouled it right off the, that looks more like his, not a toe, that more looks like an ankle. So maybe it was fouled off the ankle, but his foot area, ankle probably more specific, and he was removed from the game. So hopefully it's just precautionary. We'll keep an eye on that as well, and we'll have plenty of Mets talk coming up as soon as this game goes final, along with the Pistons and Cavs, getting a little update there. It is, well, that was, that's an old, no, okay, is it 66-59 at halftime? I feel like the game is definitely not in halftime anymore. Let me update my computer here, shall we? Yeah, whatever. They're up 5, I think, at the early third quarter. 888, the Pistons are. 888-808, we'll talk about that as soon as that game goes final as well. 888-808-1019, that is the phone number to call. Moose is in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
Ruggie.
What do you hear? What do you say? What's going on, Moose?
Oh, man, your five-hour lasagna. How lovely is this?
Yeah, a lasagna. I like that.
That's my suggestion.
I like that.
That's my suggestion.
No, I like it. I'm a huge lasagna guy. I like a little meat and lasagna, but I'm a, either way, though, I'll take it. You know what I mean? It's got all the things that I love in life. You know, a little sauce, the whole nine. So that's a good one. The lasagna. Very good.
Yes. So, right, like, okay. For the Yankee fans that are now, because like I told you, it's what you do in the 60 that you don't win convincingly or don't lose convincingly, but
right.
60 in between, 54 games in between that determine the regular season. And based on how bad the AL is, the Yankees are probably a certainty to make the playoffs unless the wheels completely fall off the bus. But that being said, for the Yankees struggles, not worried. And I guess I'm here to reassure the Yankee fans that may be a little bit like a little disturbed by the inconsistent play and now Max Fried going down.
Mm-hmm.
Like they won 15 out of 17.
That's yes, they did.
900 winning percentage.
Yes.
That's unsustainable.
Yeah, you're due for regression.
That's inconceivable.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
So like, I mean, put it this way. I work in sales. Let's say I close 90% of anybody I prospect or I talk to. I'm making $5 million that year. On a regular salesperson salary, you maybe close 5 to 10% of the people you prospect, you talk to, you have a conversation about with. So that's the difference between what you're seeing now from what they were doing before for all those Yankee fans that are trying to say the wheels are falling off the bus. You don't literally swing the fences like a god all the time and pitch like Poseidon. But, you know, there are aspects where you're hot and when you're not. So you just got to work in between. Thanks for taking my call.
No, you got it, Moose. And I look, I could tell by the bank of callers we have right now, it's a lot of Yankee fans and it's a range of emotions. Some are looking for the positive side of things. Some people want Boone out of here. Some people want to talk about the struggles. So it is truly a variety of emotions right now from Yankee fans. Let's go to Andrew in Seacliff. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, first of all, I love your show. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. My pleasure.
No, it's awesome. And I've called about Juan Soto a few times. But I'm calling about the Yankees now. I can't find positivity right now. And I want your advice on Chisholm and Wells, because those two guys, I think, are a big, big problem.
I have more positivity. I have more positivity with Jazz than I do Wells. I think Jazz is pressing. I think he's worried about money and his contract. I think he wants to be a Yankee, past this year. He's, in his late 20s? So this is his time to strike it rich. So I'm more confident that he's going to turn things around, and he has a better track record than Wells. When it comes to Austin Wells, I just don't think he's the goods. I would put Rice at catcher. I would be active at the deadline trying to get another first baseman here, maybe a lefty to go with Goldschmidt. I'm not feeling Wells. I haven't been. I wanted to trade him in the offseason. So if you gave me both, I can't go that way with you. But I.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Getting a data center online takes precision. Graybar helps you stage, schedule, and deliver the critical products you need to keep projects on time. Yep, Graybar does that.
Big Jazz will certainly turn it around and be the guy that is, he won't get 30-30 unless he just tears it up and gets extremely hot, but the numbers will be close to that for Jazz with Wells. I just don't see it happening for him.
I agree. What do you think about Volpe to second? And trade Jazz.
Yeah, I think that you'd rather be patient because the ceiling is higher with Jazz than it is with Volpe. Could I see Jazz? This is what I would say. I think it's more likely that Jazz doesn't get re-signed and they put Volpe at second next year than it is they would go to Volpe this year and trade Jazz, because I think they're going to just remain patient and they're going to say, you know what? if Jazz doesn't hit all year, we'll take our chances, but we believe that player is still there, of course. He's in the prime of his career, and we don't want to trade him away, and we think he's the better player than Volpe. But Volpe could be the—look, I think Lombard could be a third. I think McMahon could go to the bench for sure or be that utility guy. Volpe, same thing. I just don't think they're ever going to either bench or trade Jazz. I really don't. Now, whether he stays or not, I don't know if he's in the future plans. My lean is he's not, but I do think they will ride it out for the rest of the year with him.
Thank you. Thanks for a great show. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you saying that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. Hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant evening here in the tri-state area. Let's go to Steve in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Tommy. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
So I wanted to talk about Aaron Boone, but I also want to give you a present. So what should I do first?
You can go Boone first, but just don't forget. Obviously, I love presents. So let's do Boone first, and then at the back end, just remind me you have a present for me.
Got it. I was going to talk about Aaron Boone's decision-making, but there's one thing that gets me way more nervous than his bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he does this every game, but if you look closely, he eats sunflower seeds whole. Swallows them like 3-4 at a time.
Does he really?
Closely.
He swallows the entire sunflower seed with the shell?
Entire... With the shell, 3-4 at a time.
Really? I don't know. I've never...
For 20 minutes.
Really? I've never picked up on that. I'm going to talk to my dear friend, Chris Lopresti, CeeLo, about that, because he is a huge sunflower seed guy. He'll chew them and eat them or whatever in the newsroom. I'm going to see, A, if he notices it, B, what he thinks about it, because I didn't pick up on this, Steve, but I'm glad you did, because now, going forward, it's the only thing I'm going to be looking for is whether or not he is eating the entire sunflower seed whole, because I, for one, I haven't eaten them in a while, but when I did, I would, maybe if they had a little bit of nice flavoring on it, because you can get like the flavored ones, I would like suck on it for a minute, but then I would then take the shell off with my teeth and then eat the middle and then spit it out. So I don't understand the idea of swallowing them whole, though.
Yeah, and here's the present. Ready?
Yeah.
This is a family recipe.
Ooh.
So it might sound wild.
Okay.
But it makes your voice sound really like the old radio man, how they sounded like that, like stiff voice. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you could help me with my voice. Okay, go ahead.
So this is what you do. You take a tomato.
Tomato.
Dice it.
Dice it.
Add paprika.
Paprika, yep.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
A little bit of ice cream.
Ice cream.
Egg.
Does it matter what the flavor of the ice cream is?
Vanilla, preferably.
Mm-hmm. I love vanilla. Okay.
An egg.
Egg, yeah.
Add salt.
Salt.
Blend it and drink one cup. It will make your voice sound totally different. Mm-hmm. You don't believe me? It sounds wild, but check it out.
It does, but I'm all for this type of stuff. Now, do I have to drink this on a nightly basis, or one time I drink it and I become like a superhero? Is it one of those type of things? Like I get bit by the spider and now I'm Spider-Man.
If you do one time, it will last for 2 weeks. But
2 weeks.
The best way how the family recipe goes is if you add, you do it every night, and then every night add one piece of garlic.
Garlic.
Not the first time, but a piece of garlic.
Second time.
And then the second night, 2 pieces of garlic.
2 pieces.
Keep them going up.
Mm-hmm. So you keep adding the garlic.
Change your voice forever. Yep.
I love it. So let me make sure I got this correct here, Steve. So I want tomato diced. I want paprika. I need salt. I need ice cream, preferably vanilla. I need eggs. And then I blend it. And oh, peanut butter as well. And then I blend it. And then with each, that should last 2 weeks. And then every 2 weeks, add a piece of garlic to the drink.
Correct.
Done. I got to add this to my grocery list. I got to tell my wife about this. Connor, just write down on my calendar that I need to remind my wife to buy tomatoes, to buy paprika, to buy peanut butter, ice cream, preferably vanilla, eggs, salt, and garlic. Because I'm
Do you want a gallon of milk, too, just to have it?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Hopefully that works. Because I tell people this all the time. I know I'm an acquired taste. I know the voice doesn't exactly get to everybody's, it's not everybody's cup of tea. It's probably the best way to just say it.
Luke Evening!
That's right. So if I could, I don't want to change it per se, meaning if I could drink something and it can change, fine. I guess that's performance-enhancing drugs, so I don't know if I would get tested. We don't, as far as I don't get tested here for PEDs, but that would essentially be a performance-enhancing drug for a sports talk radio host because I would then have the perfect voice for the radio.
The big Lugowski.
But I always tell people all the time, I'm not going to change my voice, meaning like I'm not going to change it, like do a radio voice. That I won't do. But if I could drink something to gain these superpowers, much like in Ninja Turtles, the second movie, The Secret of the Ooze, or whatever it was, where Shredder drinks the ooze and becomes Super Shredder, of course, played by Kevin Nash. That I would do. They get superpowers, but that's like a performance-enhancing drug if you are a PED, so to speak, as a radio talk show host. So as far as I'm concerned...
You can pick up the habit of smoking, maybe?
That's right.
That could deepen your voice a little bit.
Yeah, smoking.
Could give you a little some health problems,
yeah,
too, but...
Yeah, that's the problem, the health problems on the back end. Yeah, so it might not be worth it there. But you're right, though. Whenever I... So here's really what I need to do, Connor. So definitely put this on the calendar, because I have noticed this. Whenever I go on some of my, you know, the bro trips, some of the summer trips, and we go party somewhere for 3 or 4 days, whenever I return, because you're there, you're up late, you're screaming over the music, you're drinking, whatever, the voice will get a little hoarse, a little raspy. So whenever I come back from those trips, to me, my voice sounds better because it's raspier.
Yeah.
So what I need to do is go on more of those trips.
Yeah.
So let my wife
more know. Like go to the bars. You have to loud bar, so you're yelling, drink a lot, so you get really animated. Then the next day, you always have a really deep, you know, sultry voice.
Absolutely.
You do that every night before one of your shows.
That's so, yes. go to a, not drink, but go to a loud bar before the show, a little happy hour.
And
before
do a lot hour. Of yelling.
Yelling. So that way, my voice is beaten down a little bit. And there, right. So when I get on the air, it's a little bit more raspy. And that way, it cuts through a little bit of the
Loogie!
Because that irritates some people. And I don't want to. I don't mind irritating people with the things I have to say. I'd rather not irritate them with how I sound. You know what I mean?
You could just get a voice changer, maybe. We could do like a pedal, so it's but not where it gets super low, but maybe just a little bit lower.
Yeah, like in Scream. But didn't Craig used to have one of them in here? I don't think he does anymore. Where there was a pedal, he did.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist in here anymore. Perhaps because it was too much friendly fire. Remember, a bunch of hosts would hit it with their foot accidentally, and then they'd come on the air. Oh, we got to take a break.
All right, we're going to have to take a break.
That's why you're the best, Connor. That was Summers.
All right, we're going to have to take a break. What is it already with the 1-877, with the 977, with the Astoria, with the schmoozing?
Steve should have did a whole segment like that.
All right, we're going to have to take a break.
He should have leaned into that. Thankfully, I wasn't producing that night. I don't know, because I wasn't aware that there was a pedal. I knew it existed, but I didn't know how to fix it. So if we had a, imagine having a 3-hour show with Steve.
All right, no. All right, we're going to have to take a break.
Our friend Paul Rosenberg got fooled by that, too, in one of the shows he did.
Oh, I'm sure. Do we have the audio of that?
I'd have to go find that.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't have to hear his voice, whether it's the actual voice or changed. But yeah, Rosenberg strikes me as somebody. Oh, I remember he was like, we got a little situation here. But it was more like, we got a little situation here. Interesting. It's like, Paul, you're on the radio. You have to talk a little bit. You can't just be like, interesting. As I do a pregnant pause after that, but you get the idea. I'm sitting here talking for 5 hours. But yeah, the pedal's not in here anymore. But I could do the... I keep forgetting Neve Campbell's character name in Scream. My brain is going to Clarice, which obviously is Silence of the Lambs, Jodie Foster's character. But I can't... Sydney, right? Hello, Sydney. I believe that was Neve Campbell's character name in Scream. They just
checking the Wikipedia.
Check
Let's
that
see.
Wiki. Check that wiki.
Filmography.
Neve Campbell. Huge 90s star. I believe her name in Scream was Sydney. Hello, Sydney.
Sydney Prescott.
That's right. Sydney Prescott. Right. So I could, by the first time I saw Scream, I've never been more scared in my life watching a movie. Now I'm a fraidy cat. I'll sleep with the lights on if I have to. It is what it is. You could say whatever. It is what it is. That's just the way my brain
Drew
works.
Barrymore in Scream.
Big time.
The original.
Opening scene.
For about
man.
5 minutes.
Yeah, she was in the opening scene. I don't want to spoil it, but she was in the opening scene and only that opening scene. You can probably guess why she wasn't in other scenes. The great Drew Barrymore. I love the first one. I don't recall watching the other ones. It's possible I saw the sequel. I definitely didn't see the new one. I Know What You Did Last Summer, which we referenced earlier with Jennifer Love Hewitt. Another big one. That was, I grew up in the teen slasher era of scary movies. You know, the generation right before me was more of the Halloween, you know, Michael Myers. It was more of the Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger. It was more of the Jason movies or Hellraiser. I feel like that was like right before I was a little too young, but once I was old enough to like watch scary movies in the theaters, you know what I mean? They were just coming out. It was the I Know What You Did Last Summer. It was Scream.
The Grudge.
The Grudge. Yeah, those type of movies.
That the Ring?
The Ring. Ooh, The Ring was a, ooh, that was a good one. That
scary
was,
movie?
Scary, well, that was more of a parody. That was the Wayans Brothers. That was more of a parody on the scary movies, including Scream. But The Ring was, and then of course, which I know I've said this before, and I promised myself I would do this. I got to do it probably more around Halloween. I want to rewatch The Blair Witch Project because I saw it in the theaters. And if you're unfamiliar with that movie, it just had this a ton of hype. But when I went to go see it, I was like, really? That was it? And I'm open to movies. You don't have to necessarily hit me right in the face with what's going on scary-wise. Like, I love the Paranormal Activity movies. But when I saw Blair Witch, it just, it didn't do it for me. Perhaps, though, much like I said with The Goonies. The Goonies, I think, doesn't stand up today. I think it got, like, I just watched it. I'm like, eh, it wasn't as good as I remember it. Perhaps The Blair Witch could be one of those movies that I didn't like it at first, but now, all these years later, I watch it and I appreciate it more. Because I'm not going into it with the hype that was surrounded by the movie. And now, since The Blair Witch, there have been, like I said, Paranormal Activities, similar movies where it's theater of the mind. You don't necessarily see what's going on, but you yourself have to create the fear. Where a lot of these other scary movies just hit you right in the head. My wife hates scary movies, by the way. So there's a big problem here. I am scared to death, and I don't want to watch them by myself. I'd rather have somebody there. You know what I mean? Great, great.
My wife is a dingbat.
Absolutely. Scary movies are great to go on dates with. You know, to go, yes, to take a date to a scary movie. Because she's scared, and you can protect her.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Or in this instance, I'd be the person that's scared. You know what I mean? And I would grip onto the girl and be like, please make sure that Michael Myers doesn't show up outside her house. Tommy, the mama's boy. That's right. Hold on. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. It is after hours. We'll get back to all the calls here. I promise. We have Mets here in the ninth inning. We're monitoring the Pistons situation with the Cavs. So as soon as those games go final, plenty of talk on both of them. 888-808-Yankees for sure. We're going to get into a little bit of what's going on with the NFL schedule. They announced the first ever Thanksgiving Eve game that will be coming up this year. So I want to touch on that before the full schedule is released tomorrow. And a reminder, programming note, tomorrow night, John Schmelk, Paul Dottino will host a I keep wanting to say draft show because the last time they were on it was a draft show. Schedule release show. And I will be on the 3 hours before that. 7 to 10, 10 to 12. So 7 to 12 tomorrow.
The big Lugowski.
Will be a lot of schedule talk here on The Fan from the locals. We already know about the Giants in week one. We'll find out about the rest of their schedule and the Jets as well. 888-808-1019. It is after hours. Lugie here in the late night.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.